Hi, it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. here, your HHS secretary at a division called the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, or BARDA. BARDA drives some of our most advanced scientific research. It funds developments of vaccines, drugs, diagnostics, and other tools to fight emerging diseases and national health threats. Over the past few weeks, BARDA reviewed 22 mRNA vaccine development investments and began canceling them. Let me explain why. Most of these shots are for flu or COVID, but as the pandemic showed us, mRNA vaccines don't perform well against viruses that infect the upper respiratory tract. Here's the problem. mRNA only codes for a small part of the viral proteins, usually a single antigen. One mutation and the vaccine becomes ineffective. This dynamic drives a phenomenon called antigenic shift, meaning that the vaccine paradoxically encourages new mutations and can actually prolong pandemics as the virus constantly mutates to escape the protective effects of the vaccine. Millions of people, maybe even you or someone you know, caught the Omicron variant despite being vaccinated. That's because a single mutation can make mRNA vaccines ineffective. The same risk applies to flu. After reviewing the science and consulting top experts at NIH and FDA, HHS has determined that mRNA technology poses more risk than benefits for these respiratory viruses. That's why, after extensive review, BARDA has begun the process of terminating these 22 contracts, totaling just under $500 million. To replace the troubled mRNA programs, we're prioritizing the development of safer, broader vaccine strategies, like whole virus vaccines and novel platforms that don't collapse when viruses mutate. Let me be absolutely clear. HHS supports safe, effective vaccines for every American who wants them. That's why we're moving beyond the limitations of mRNA for respiratory viruses and investing in better solutions. Thank you.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The Trump administration just delivered big time via RFK Jr. Remember a few weeks ago, everybody got pissed at him. Two mRNA vaccines got approved. He said he was going to kill. Experimental gene therapies. He was on vacation. He came back, fired the people that did it. And he just banned all of them yesterday. 22 of them. $500 million contracts on their developments. So he's also moving to get the fluoride out, the poison dyes, I mean, you name it. He is hitting on all cylinders. And he's exposing all these hospitals that are killing people for their organs. I mean, it just goes on and on. RFK Jr. in the administration is delivering the most. And Tulsi Gabbard's doing an incredible job, Tom Homan, you name it. So yeah, I've had big issues with some of the things Trump's done. I call balls and strikes, but I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. This is revolutionary and very exciting. So God bless RFK Jr., pray for him. And just to all you that got Trump elected, congratulations, because they're dismantling so much of the globalist operation, cutting their funding to the NGOs. I mean, it just goes on and on. And now criminal referrals are being sent forward on the Obama Russia hoax coup plotters, Jack Smith, all of it. These aren't referrals. These are going for indictments with the grand juries. This is new. As I told you months ago, my sources are, they're going for it. So look for globalist fireworks. Look for globalist false flags. It's an incredible time to be alive. So much opportunity. And again, Trump's constituency, the base, is holding the agenda's feet to the fire. And when bad guys, the administration, go sideways on things like Pam Bondi, I don't think she's overall bad, but, you know, blocking fluoride being removed from the water, that's going to get overridden. So this is very exciting. So just stay focused. This is a time of major global awakening, not just here, but all over the planet. Follow me on next Relox Jones, Infowars.com/show. I'll be on the air today, 11 a.m. Central, bringing all this down and more. Harrison Smith kicks off at 8 a.m. in about 20 minutes with the American Journal, Infowars.com/show. And of course, Relox Jones on X. Be sure to check out that show. It's going to be powerful. Thank you.
Share those links, folks, at Real Alex Jones. We'll be back on the other side talking about, again, the Texas Democrats. Gary Franchi from Next News Network, he found him. Stay tuned.
This is a major alert for the AlexJonesShow.com. I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. That means you've got 7 days to get the biggest deals ever if you're a VIP. It's $30 a month. You get $40 for the store, special deals, special offers, special savings. And you don't just get one bottle of the supplements like Methylene Blue, get one free. You also can buy one of our amazing Richardson hats with Patriot logos and messages on it, or either T-shirts or other apparel, and get one absolutely free. I mean, this is an incredible deal. Now, this is a fundraiser shirt, but with this, we mark it up, limited edition, InfoWars fundraiser shirt, black on black, murdered out, limited edition. We're only putting this shirt out for a few months. Get your limited edition, murdered out, historic InfoWars shirt, and know you fought on the tip of the spear. It's an adventure to wear this shirt in public. Find it all right now. Biggest sale ever at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for your support, because we cannot do this without you.
Watching the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the American Journal. Second hour is on infowars.com/show, band.video. So a lot more to cover today. I want to talk about some of the backlash to congressional leader Mike Johnson in Israel endorsing the West Bank settlements and the ethnocide of Arabs from that region. That's causing a bit of a kerfuffle. We're also going to talk about, of course, the war on the family that the left is waging, as well as the one of the only aspects of Trump's administration that is consistently racking up tangible victories, which is RFK Jr. and the Health and Human Services contingent, doing things like banning mRNA and removing COVID from the childhood vaccine schedule, amongst other things. So still a lot to talk about today. But sticking with this this story of the runaway scrape, which that should be a question for any of these Texas Democrats. If anybody has a chance to interview them, ask them if they know what the runaway scrape is. If they don't, they should have to vacate their office anyway. I'm surprised I haven't seen that pun made recently, but people don't know Texas history, so what are you going to do? Abbott and Paxton are seeking orders to both arrest them. Paxton's actually asked the FBI to go after these guys, and Abbott is asking a court to basically vacate their seats. Now, in response to this, Wu, one of the ringleaders, issued his own statement defending his and his Democrat colleagues' actions in hitting back at Abbott, saying, quote, denying the governor a quorum, it was not an abandonment of my office. It was a fulfillment of my oath. Ah, yes. Yes, the oath you took to not vote on bills. The oath you took to just completely destroy everything and break everything and not actually participate in the process, so no actual business could be done, so the state heads towards insolvency and bankruptcy. Is that what you took your oath to do, scumbag? Like, again, how they're framing this as I'm fulfilling my oath. Yeah, these people, they just say things, man. It just doesn't mean anything. Unable to defend his corrupt agenda on its merits, Greg Abbott now desperately seeks to silence dissent by removing a duly elected official from office. He didn't remove you. You left, dumbass. No, you ran away. You left. You have abandoned your post. It's like, unable to defend his agenda. No. I guess if you didn't know anything, some of these statements could make sense to you. They don't make any sense, though. But if you actually know what's going on, none of this means anything. Governor Abbott is not, like, on the back heel. He's not the one, you know, being asked to justify his agenda. There are bills on the floor. They need to be voted on. You guys would lose the vote. You knew you were going to lose the vote, so you ran away instead. Just like Bowman pulling the fire alarm to avoid a vote that they didn't like. It's actually almost exactly the same tactic they're using here. Right? You remember Representative Bowman? There's some, you know, vote that was about to happen that they were going to lose, and so he pulled the fire alarm to stop the vote from happening and then acted like he didn't know what the fire alarm was. This is just what Democrats do. Rep. Bowman charged with pulling fire alarm in House office building when there wasn't an emergency. No, the emergency was they didn't want to lose the vote, so they flipped the game board over. This is what they do. They don't participate in good faith. They don't actually care about democracy. They don't actually care about the system that they, you know, will throw you in jail for 20 years for offending. It doesn't matter to them. None of this matters to any of them. They're all liars. So again, he's trying to frame this as if Abbott is trying to defend his agenda. So now he's trying to silence dissent by rejecting people from office, but you guys ran away and aren't participating. He says, history will judge this moment. It will show a governor who used the law as a weapon to silence his people, and it will show those of us who stood for a higher principle. The higher principle of what? Being petulant babies that won't participate if you can't win? That will speak endlessly about the superlative authority of the people and the majority and our sacred democracy, but the minute it goes against you, it can all just be thrown out the window. That when it's something that you want is given to you by the system is sacred, and even questioning it makes you a terrorist. But the instant that the system provides an answer you don't want to hear, now you're the hero that's upholding your oath by running away to Illinois. Great. Just pathetic. I love it. You showed a governor who used the law as a weapon to silence his people. Yeah, when they break the law, that's what it's for. So it is lawful. So what he's doing is lawful, is what you're saying. He's using the law for its intended purpose to punish those who break it. And you're breaking the law. And so now because you're breaking the law, you're now saying he's using the law to silence you, when in reality, you wouldn't be silenced if you weren't breaking the law. In fact, you could no longer be silenced. You could retain your seat by simply going back to Austin today. So just like, you know, when they cry about like immigrants at Alligator Alcatraz, it's like, dude, you should have just gone back to El Salvador. At any point, at any moment in the last 20 years, you could have just gone home. At any point in the last month, you could have just gone home. We are doing everything we possibly can to not put you in prison. We just want you to go home, but you persist in breaking the law, so eventually we have to punish you. Same with these guys. It's like they're crying foul and, oh, they're going to kick us out of our seat and they're abusing us. And it's like, just go back. Just go back. These are like, they're like the horses that can get led around without reins. It's like there's nothing stopping you from no longer breaking the law. Just go back. How does anybody have, like, you know, sympathy for these people? They're literally just refusing to do the thing that they took an oath to do. Even under the threat of arrest, they're just refusing to go back home. This is just so stupid. The petition that Abbott filed says this: what is at stake here? Nothing less than the future of Texas. If a small fraction of recalcitrant lawmakers choose to run out the clock today, they can do so for any and every regular special session, potentially bankrupting the state in an attempt to get their way. How would this country function if this is the way that people acted? How could we have a Republican or a Democratic system if this is the way that everybody acted? If every time the Republicans were going to lose a vote, they just left and denied a quorum and shut down the whole government. If every time the Democrats weren't going to get their way, they all just ran away and made a big media spectacle out of it, halted all business, and then claimed to be the victims. No, you can't do this. You're not allowed to do this. And if they get away with this, like, is, and there's a lot of these kinds of situations where I have the feeling what this is going to be is eventually just going to not be getting as many headlines, and there's going to go, this is just going to quietly fade away. If I had to guess, the way these things always go, is it just kind of quietly fades away, and the Democrats eventually just come back, and they, you know, have to pass the bill anyway, and it all kind of comes to nothing. And that's that. What they've already done, they are already guilty of breaking the law. So they need to go to jail. Like, this can't be a situation where, like, they're allowed to break the law, and then when they stop breaking the law, we act like they never broke the law. No, they broke the law. They have to be held accountable for it. Even if they go back now, even if they come home now, they've already broken the law. And nobody's supposed to be above the law. I don't know why I would get a ticket for going 2 miles an hour over the speed limit, and these people can basically withhold emergency relief funds from flood victims for a month while they make a big spectacle out of their ridiculous resistance to the rule of law. There cannot be, you know, two laws here. And just because they're elected officials, they have broken the law. They are breaking the law at this moment. And tell me another situation where it's like, oh, well, he was a drug dealer, but then he stopped dealing drugs, so now we're not going to punish him. Like, no, but he still committed those crimes. Those are still on the books. Crime is not something that, like, they, you know, if you stop doing it, it goes away. No, you were already doing the crime, so they need to be arrested. And I just pray to God it doesn't end up like I just laid out, where it's just, you know, in a week, they all just go home, and it's like nothing comes of it. They have to be taught a lesson. For the love of God, all of these Democrats all over the country have to be put in their place and or disenfranchised entirely. It's actually the only option. And it's all perfectly legal. Everything he's doing is perfectly legal. This is how it works. Abbott signals the path that he and Paxton would pursue late Sunday, a few hours after Democrats announced the quorum break. Abbott pointed to an opinion Paxton issued after Democrats last broke quorum during a special session in 2021. That ruling held that a court would have to determine if a legislator has forfeited his or her office by abandonment. That empowers me. This is from Governor Abbott, quote, that empowers me to swiftly fill vacancies under Article 3, Section 13 of the Texas Constitution. Abbott put out in his own statement, getting court approvals for such declaration is not automatic and is likely to be time consuming. The current special session ends August 19th, but the governor can call as many special sessions as he wishes under the state constitution. Whether Abbott can, in fact, name the replacements for elected members of the state legislature is open to dispute. Charles Rhodes, a constitutional law professor at the University of Missouri Law School, said flatly that it's not in Abbott's power. But there's got to be a way to do it. And either way, I mean, maybe you just don't replace him with anybody and they just get removed from the role for this session. Regardless, they can't keep getting away with this. They can't keep just doing whatever the hell they want, whenever the hell they want, in complete flagrant disregard of the rules and function of the office that they've taken an oath to uphold. So, you know, I was joking about it in the beginning, but only insofar as it just emphasizes the continuing examples, the many, many examples we have of the ongoing just complete disregard for lawful activity that the Democrats have. We're all saying, yeah, we'll just do mail-in ballots. And, you know, the legislatures can stay in Illinois and we'll just count whatever ballots get mailed in their name. And if they complain about it, then we'll call them conspiracy theorists. We'll allow them to fill out their own ballot and then we'll throw that ballot in the trash and we'll count the one that was sent in. You know, just like the 2020 election was carried out. We'll carry out legislative votes exactly like the 2020 election. And it will be completely impossible to even tell whether or not the vote was rigged, because that's the way the Democrats do things when they're in charge. And so maybe we should take a lesson from them. That's the way to do it. Mail-in ballots, and then we can just fill them out ourselves, send them in, and there'll be absolutely no way to confirm or deny whether that vote was legitimate, and so we just have to count it. Sorry. This is what you taught us to do, so let's do that. Now, California and New York are both, you know, pointing at Texas, simply trying to redistrict and saying, now we're going to rig our districts. They have asked the FBI to help arrest these people. J.B. Pritzker claims Texas redistricting is cheating because they're afraid of losing the 2026 midterms. Okay. I guess he's just asserting that. Again, they have nothing to nothing to point to this actually being true. They're just, you know, mad this is the case. In fact, I had a video yesterday of Jasmine Crockett talking about this. And she's literally complaining that they're putting too many black people in her district. They're like, she's like, they're talking about changing this district where I have more black people, but less industries in my district. It's like, okay, so what is a district exactly? Isn't the idea that you're supposed to have people that are similar to each other in the same district, more or less? And so you're complaining not that this redistricting is somehow unfairly, you know, bifurcating communities or whatever. It's just that you just want the money that comes with having a bunch of industries in your district, and you're mad that's going to be taken out of your district. Again, it's not principle. It's not. It's just nothing. These people just, it's just pure power, 100% all the time. That's all they care about. They're evil, and that's all there is to it. Runaway Texas Democrat lawmakers and the law that could theoretically remove them from office. It's a little known, little used legal remedy known as quo warranto, which could theoretically be used to remove lawmakers from office. However, there's strong opposition to the governor invoking the law this way. And here's my point. Here's my point of all of this and everything that we talk about. The strategy is very, 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 very simple here. And this applies just about like across the board to everything. And it's simply this. Do it anyway, and then let them fight you. That's it. That's the answer to all of this. The thing keeping us back is that Republicans, in particular, are constantly terrified of, like, breaking the law or doing something that's not exactly, you know, perfect. And so they withhold themselves. They keep themselves back. The Democrats have a much better philosophy. It's do whatever you possibly can and then make them stop you. So that's the answer here. It's not even to this instance in particular, just strategically, the shift needs to happen to where Republicans just do what they think they might be able to do, just do it. And then if the Democrats think it's illegal, think it's not what you should be able to do, then they can file lawsuits, they can try to stop you, they can do workarounds. They can try to play defense and we can play offense. Instead, it's stuff like this where, you know, it's like, well, you know, under Texas law, lawmakers are permitted to break quorum by fleeing. So, you know, maybe we can't. And, you know, this would set a dangerous precedent, allowing governors from majority parties to vacate the seats of lawmakers who oppose them. But that's not really what's happening, though, because they did leave the office. They'd literally just have to come back. There's something that's preventing them from coming back. So as long as this could just be used any time. And so you're going to have a bunch of, you know, Texas Republicans going, ah, gee, I don't know if we can do this or not. Let's figure out if we're allowed to do this. Tell you what, the thing that determines whether or not you're allowed to do it is whether you do it or not. Okay? The thing that determines whether Democrats are allowed to completely forestall government operation and, you know, selfishly break quorum, like, they're just doing that right now. They're not allowed to, but they are doing it. And if they don't go to jail, then that's what they're allowed to do. Then that's the precedent. And now it's set. And that's what they'll do from now on. It's just the way it works. So you are creating precedent constantly every day that we do whatever we do. So the precedent needs to be Governor Greg Abbott needs to go, all right, I'm hereby removing these people from the legislature. I'm going to replace them with these people. And then the ball's in their court. And if they don't like that, then they can try to fight it somehow. Just don't be the one doing their job for them. Instead, we're going to have Governor Abbott being like, well, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this. So I don't know. I think I'll ask a court if I'm allowed to. And maybe a couple months from now, when this, you know, emergency situation is long expired, you know, maybe we'll get an answer. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it and then make them stop you. That's the solution to all of our problems. Do the thing that we have to do and then let the Democrats fight you. Let them fight you in court. Let them fight you in the streets. Let them try to, you know, vote differently next time, but just do it. First remove them, then they can try to fight you. But stop doing their job for them. It's really not that complicated. Now, the plane that carried Texas Democrats to Illinois was funded by Beto O'Rourke's super PAC. Beto O'Rourke's PAC apparently paid for it. This makes sense when you consider that O'Rourke has run for almost every possible office in Texas except dog catcher and lost every single time. Beto probably jumped at the chance to help these Democrats. The news is certainly not going to help their cause with Texas voters, since everybody hates Beto and denies him constantly, and how he, you know, lied about not taking any money from super PACs when all of his money came directly from gigantic super PACs. Congressional Dems and the Soros-backed Texas Majority PAC are also in the mix, as this is all just various aspects of the Soros-centered plan to turn Texas blue by swamping us with illegal immigrants to dilute our demographics, and ethnically replace the white people that built this state with people that will vote Democrat because they've never been American and do not hold the values of Americans. And this is just, you know, part of this attempt, because they know that if Texas falls to the Democrats, that's it for America. That's it for America, because if Texas goes Democrat, no Republican president will ever be elected again, and we'll just be a one-party country from then on out. So they are desperately targeting Texas in a variety of different ways, and their overextension of themselves in this regard opens them up for a brilliant counterattack, where you just throw these people in prison, and maybe you even go after Beto O'Rourke's PAC for being an accessory before the fact. Now I'm going to go to clip 19 here for a few minutes, but basically all these Republicans have run away and are hiding, but Gary Franchi from the Next News Network found them. He found where they're hiding. It's a place called the Q Center in Illinois. He witnessed firsthand this location being a secure hideout for Texas Democrats, including Representative Jasmine Crockett and Representative Al Green. He was at the Q Center. He personally saw the guest manifest. He saw Representative Crockett's name on the list, and he even asked if Al Green and Jasmine Crockett were there, and they told him they were. So we can go to clip 19 first, and we'll go to his other video here. But yeah, good job on Gary Franchi from Next News Network tracking these people down and confirming their location. So if the FBI wants to go after them, there's no excuse not to now. We know exactly where they are. Go arrest them. Go arrest these people. No excuses. You know where they are. They're breaking the law. Go arrest them today. Now they should be in handcuffs by this afternoon. There is no excuse. Here's Gary Franchi. Let's watch.
It's just after 11 a.m. here in St. Charles, Illinois, and I'm standing outside the heavily guarded entrance of the Q Center, a facility that now resembles a political bunker more than a hotel. I'm Gary Franchi. I'm the chief White House correspondent for the Next News Network on a special assignment investigating a stunning development. Democrat fugitives from Texas are now holed up inside this compound, using it as their base of operations to sabotage the democratic process they were elected to participate in. After approaching the gates and being denied entry, the security officer in the gate behind me revealed that Jasmine Crockett, Representative Al Green, are in fact holed up inside. And I did see the guest manifest and can confirm with 100% clarity that those names are among others that are here being harbored under the deep-fried protection of Governor J.B. Pritzker, who's
right,
aiding
we'll
and abetting
back.
These...
That's Gary Franchi. He tracked him down. He's camping outside.
I'm cutting this on July 30th, 2025. That means you've got 7 days to take advantage of one of the biggest sales in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. If you buy any of our amazing supplements, the Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, all of the great products are there right now. Buy one already discounted, get the very same bottle, the very same product, absolutely free, but it's only running for 7 days. When you're a VIP for $30 a month, you get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special discounts, and more. That's how you take advantage of the buy one, get one free. This is only for VIP members, but anybody going to the store should be a VIP, because you get $40 for subscribing for $30 a month. You make money on that, and you can cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for your support.
Oh. thealexjonesstore.com and get this methylene blue. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this is the best product you guys have ever had. It's just absolutely fantastic.
It's insane.
Take me an hour to explain why. Just go and buy it. I'm expecting 2 bottles tomorrow.
Absolutely. I want to tell the audience a little bit about what to experience on Methylene Blue. I know we've talked about it incessantly. We've had basically every guest take it. We've run ad after ad after ad for it. Talk to your doctor. But as long as you're not on SSRIs, this could be the best thing that you've ever taken. A lot of stuff that's good for you. You take it, and it is good for you, but you don't necessarily feel it. Take B12 every single day. You might not necessarily feel it. Maybe if it builds up in your system, you'll start noticing that you have more energy and you're getting sick less often. I understand, but Methylene Blue is one of the few products over the counter out there that you will physically feel within 30 minutes, unless you have supernatural mitochondria health. And it's not just the way that your body feels, even though there are sensations. It's the way that your state of mind completely changes. It doesn't make you a different person. You just realize that your thoughts are more organized, that a veil is lifted, that you have clarity of focus, that you have more energy, but you're not jittery, that there's no crash, that you could still go to sleep if you wanted to, but you don't feel like you're falling asleep every single day. I mean, Methylene Blue is something that I will take for the rest of my life. And you can look into all the studies and the conversations from RFK Jr. to Mel Gibson to Chase Hughes. They've done studies on the effects of Methylene Blue where people take it and then they do red light therapy and the benefits are just absolutely astounding. You're absorbing more oxygen. Your mitochondria are totally fired up. Your body is absorbing more energy from the sun itself. It's like super chlorophyll for a human body. And you'll feel better, and you'll feel the hot blood running through your veins, and you'll understand that you're focused, that you have more energy, and you won't be jittery, and there isn't a come down. It helps your body absorb more of the oxygen that you breathe in. Literally the stuff that life is made of. Isn't it said in Genesis that God breathed life into Adam? Well, this makes you be able to make the most out of God's breath into you. And look, our whole purpose on this earth is to honor God. We are his creation. And so what better way to honor him than becoming the best versions of ourselves? It's called self-actualization. When you actually become all you can potentially become. And our bodily health is part of that. Our intellectual health, our mind health is part of that. And then the good that we do in the world is part of that. And so by going to thealexjonesstore.com right now and getting Methylene Blue, you're fighting for your body and your mind and for humanity at the same time. You're doing what God calls all of us to do. Methylene Blue will be one of the best decisions that you ever make.
It's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. You know, as we talked about the Democrats running away because they weren't going to win the vote they were obliged to participate in, their response, while being completely, you know, unrelated to the question that they're asked, is always the same. It's a little strange. This is a little bizarre. Right? This is the type of mind control. I don't even know what really to call it. Like, what's happening here? People keep asking about why the Democrats are breaking the rules and breaking quorum and running away rather than participate in the vote. And every time they come back by saying healthcare should be free. What is happening? What is this? What do they think is going on? What's happening in their brains? Somebody help me get my mind around this. They keep being asked why they broke quorum over redistricting maps, and their response 100% of the time is, but healthcare should be free though. Okay. Would you like to, did you mishear the question? What do you think is happening? What do you think we're talking about right now? And why, whether it's Governor J.B. Pritzker or Gavin Newsom or the Texas representatives themselves who fled, why is it that every time I've seen them asked about this, their first response is to say, you're denying health care for people who need it. It doesn't make any sense. It's weird that they do this. Type of biting commentary you get here. Can somebody explain it to me, though? I don't need to explain it. It's obvious, right? They have nothing. They have no argument. It doesn't matter what it is. Their only argument back is, but you're killing people, though. I can't be expected to actually explain or defend my position. All I need to do is assert without evidence or even logical consistency or any sort of justification for saying it whatsoever, that Republicans want people dead. And then I don't have to explain anything or believe anything or understand anything or justify any of my actions. It's just whatever you want to know from me. The answer is Republicans want to deny health care from people, meaning Republicans want sick people to stay sick because they're evil and bad. And so what are you asking me a question about again? Do they do this in their personal life? Can you imagine being married to one of these people? Honey, why are you throwing your socks on the floor when the hamper's right there? Can you not just put them in the hamper? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you didn't want health care for poor people. So you're trying to deny health care for poor people? No, that has literally nothing to do with anything that we're talking about. Why are you saying it? Why do they all say it? Doesn't make any sense. You know why it especially doesn't make any sense? Because the policy they're pushing under the guise of they're loving and Republicans want everybody to die is an awful policy that kills everyone. This is the ultimate irony of this. We don't have to speculate. I don't have to make economic arguments. I'm going to read some personal accounts now of what it's like living under the most successful, well-established, long-lasting, and globally celebrated government healthcare system, the NHS. Okay? This is the best of the best. You can't get better than this. It's so good, the entire country of the UK is killing itself rather than reform it. That's how good it is. Okay? And lucky for us, a Brit out there at Brugaloo underscore on X asked his followers, share some lore about the time the NHS tried to kill you or someone you love. Now, actually, early on in my InfoWars career, I did a funny report on this called Thank You for Using the NHS. Sorry you went blind and died. Because there were these stories of like thousands of people that the NHS, through sheer incompetence, either blinded or killed or both. And it's just gone on for years. Like, it's just every year or so, there's some new thing that's like crops up. It's like, oh yeah, oops. The NHS has been running this program that's been, you know, issuing do not resuscitate orders on retarded people. Whoops, whoopsies. We've been killing retarded people on a regular basis. Sorry. Okay, so this is, so every time the Democrats are questioned about anything, any of their criminality, any of their hypocrisies, just anything, their only response so far today, and again, literally, Governor Pritzker, Gavin Newsom, all of the Texas Democrats, what they say when they're questioned about their criminal activity is, well, healthcare should be government funded. Okay, take your headphones out. We're asking you a question here. We don't know what you think is going on. And so here's the result of, this is what they want. This is their government. This is what they are demanding. This is the only thing they care about. Let's read some examples, shall we? My uncle went in for a knee operation and they accidentally punctured his kidney with the epidural. Instead of admitting their mistake and trying to solve the problem, they hit it and had him euthanized like a dog. It took 6 years for them to admit it and say sorry. He actually links to a Cornwall Live news story here confirming that it's true. We're not just taking his word for it. More incompetence than intent to kill, but my Nan was misdiagnosed for a year. They kept telling her she had bladder infections. None of the treatments ever worked. Then they realized the entire time she'd actually had liver cancer. They sent her home from the hospital with some ibuprofen. She died in excruciating pain a week later. Nina Kai. My son had a tongue tie so severe that he basically couldn't feed. Not one of the 10 people who interacted with him after his birth bothered to look at his mouth. If I hadn't had a private midwife and then a private lactation consultant to snip it, I no doubt he would have died. That baby would have starved to death if they hadn't gone to a private provider. They screwed up the anesthetic for my brother's appendectomy, causing him to aspirate pink froth, meaning he had some form of internal bleeding. It took him 3 days to wake up from what should have been a simple operation, and at points they weren't sure he was going to pull through. A woman named Cassandra says, my sister had 3 missed cancer diagnoses from smear tests, hysterectomy, and chemo, currently suing. She worked her entire life for the NHS. Dad had his melanoma undiagnosed for years. GP eventually apologized. He died at 70. My 8-month pregnant aunt attended the GP and ED 7 times with severe abdominal pain. She was dismissed as an anxious first-time mom and even berated about her repeat attendances. Her appendix burst, she went into labor, and her baby girl died an hour after birth. My wife's granddad had just died. My stepmom and my friend's wife are close to dying from cancers that were misdiagnosed variously as growths, polyps, thyroid issue. I'm going to lose 3 people, including 2 close family members, this year as a result of 3 separate hospitals' utter failures. And it just goes on and on. There's literally thousands of these. And every single one of them is pretty much, you know, deliberate malfeasance, including ones like this. African NHS midwife denied my wife as was having advanced contractions, got annoyed with her, and put her to sleep with a sedative. Said she'd be back in 3 hours, but instead just went home without telling anyone we were there. My wife woke up pushing. I had to help her down to the labor floor. A young Irish midwife ran to help us, kept yelling at an African who idly popped in and out with the wrong instruments, eventually gave up and handled the risky delivery herself. Afterwards, African number 2 kept telling us her name. She wanted us to name the baby after her. We were then told that my wife had been given the wrong med, so we had to be kept in the hospital for 3 days for monitoring. Patients in the postnatal unit were entirely foreign. A night in, we were told somebody was being quarantined for tuberculosis. After that, my wife tried to pay for her hospital care. The hospital calf stepped patronizingly telling her that healthcare is free in the UK, but she absolutely had to pay for it under the terms of her visa, but it took weeks to find a person who could process it. We tried to file a complaint against the African midwife who'd sedated my wife and then abandoned her on the ward without telling anyone. The hospital dismissively insisted she'd done nothing wrong and we gave up. I questioned their motives. And now this is a big issue. This is a big issue because turns out the UK accepts medical certification from third world countries with no adequate medical infrastructure. So this isn't just like a racist comment that, oh, it was an African woman, therefore it was bad. No, the foreign doctors in the UK are not certified under UK universities. They come from Timbuktu with a piece of paper that says I'm a doctor, and the UK says, here's your white coat. And then they don't know what the hell they're doing. And then it gets covered up because what happens is when you have incompetent doctors coming from Africa, then all the stats show that, gee, it looks like black doctors have significantly higher death rates than white doctors. That must be racism because any inequality in statistics by race must be racism. There is no other explanation for it. And then they'll start fudging the numbers or like give more benefits to the African doctors on the assumption that it must be racism that's making them underperform. And so you get this sort of cyclical feedback loop of incompetent doctors coming from foreign countries, hurting and killing patients in the UK at NHS, then them doubling down on diversity under the false and utterly asinine assumption that it's racism that's causing people to, say, not want foreign doctors to treat them because they keep killing everybody. I'm not just saying that. I've got statistics to back it up. But we can continue on these other quotes. I mean, it does just go on and on. 6-year waiting list for a first appointment. Waiting times. There's a high demand for appointments, which is common across other gender identity clinics around the UK. Number of people on the waiting list, 17,000. Number of referrals received this month, 352. We're currently offering first appointments to people referred in September of 2019. This is the most recent data from June 3rd, 2025. And they're just now seeing people from 2019.
Oh, they just don't want people to have health care. Oh, these big bad Republicans, they just want to deny health care to poor people.
Yeah, you can get government health care. They'll put you on a waiting list for 6 months, misdiagnose you, and then kill you. And then give you, you know, an undesired, yet somehow voluntary suicide. Thanks, guys. Gee, couldn't we be more like Canada? Where their number one cause of death is doctor-assisted suicide. All right, so 6 months for a appointment. That's not bad. Now, of course, if you're a foreigner in the UK, as we reported before, they actually have dedicated dentists and doctors who visit them in the hotels where they're, you know, staying for free every week, guaranteeing that they always and immediately have government health care. Even if they don't need it, it's there on call available for them. But if you're a UK citizen that was born there, if you're one of these despicable white people, then, you know, 6 years from now, maybe we can get around to seeing you. Sorry you went blind and died. Sorry. The NHS managed to plaster my leg, give them a cast, after surgery without washing the dirt from my bike crash off. They trapped dirt in an open wound. I was infected with pseudomonas and spent 11 months in the hospital. I was put in an HIA side bay with five other guys. I was the only one who survived. Jeez. Yeah. Okay, so how is this minority's fault? Well, let's get into it. After reading this, I decided to examine all 345 non-duplicate medical malpractice cases committed in the last year on the MPTS website, figure out how many were trained in the UK and Ireland and how many were foreign trained. Disclaimer, this research is not going to be 100% sound, but it's as close as I can get. It's all coming from what country they studied in, and therefore, there are some quite foreign-sounding names that are down as UK, Ireland, because they received their medical degree here. It says, I can evaluate that 61% of malpractice cases examined were committed by non-UK-trained doctors. This compares to just 39% for UK-trained doctors. So significantly more than half of the malpractice cases involve foreign-trained doctors, which, of course, is completely, you know, over-representative. You don't have 61% of the doctors in the NHS from non-UK hospitals. Now, maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe we look that up. Oh, no, it's only 37%. Okay, so only 37% of doctors in Britain gained their qualifications from non-UK universities. So 37% of doctors commit 61% of the malpractice cases. And other people, you know, are commenting on this saying, basically, yeah, like, you know, some countries just like run this as an operation because they know that if you say you're a doctor, you're going to get into the UK even faster and with more benefits. So, you know, they'll train somebody as a doctor in, you know, wherever, the Congo, and then send them to the UK, and they get put as an NHS operator, and then everybody's too scared to tell them that they're incompetent because you'll be called a racist. Maybe you'll be sent to jail for daring to suggest that the African guy maybe isn't a real doctor after all. How dare you? The majority of medical malpractice cases involve foreign-trained doctors. A breakdown of 209 cases from the Medical Practitioners Tribunal Service, where the accused trained outside of the UK evaluating malpractice tribunals from 2023 through 2024. 22% of them come from India, 16% of them come from Pakistan, 12% of them come from the Middle East, excluding Egypt, 11% come from Egypt, 11% come from Africa, Eastern Europe, Central Europe, and other. This breakdown highlights the top seven regions and countries where doctors who commit malpractice receive their qualifications from. Once you get past the top six, there's a lot of countries where there's only one case, so it didn't make sense to include them all. But it shows you here that, yeah, despite being a minority of the doctors, foreign doctors commit a majority of the medical malpractice cases. And they really do just go on and on. And there's like just infinite numbers of stories. If you just go look at the quote tweets, this is funny from Gravantes. Every U.S. medical horror story is about how large the bill is at the end. Every U.K. NHS horror story is some variation of, I was suffering from constant headaches, so I went to the doctor, and he took my liver and amputated my right foot. It's true. A family friend went in for a stomach-related surgery, and they ended up cutting her fallopian tubes, making her infertile at the age of 22. Grandma went in healthy, living independently with a varicose vein pre-COVID. They tried to put her on a gurney, dropped her, shattered her leg. She ended up amputating it, went into shock-induced dementia, and died without ever recognizing me again within weeks. So if you don't want that, it's because you hate poor people, right? If you don't want to give up our system of healthcare, which, by the way, can you imagine our system? In fact, you know what? We'll do it now. Since we're on healthcare, I wasn't planning on spending a lot of time on this, but since we're on it, since we're here and enjoying ourselves, let's indulge, and we'll go to a video of a nurse talking about exactly what we're covering, the absolute failure of the NHS or Canadian or anything else to deal with the issues, and then what the real problem is at American hospitals. The real problem at American hospitals is not incompetent doctors. It's not an overwhelmed system. It's illegal immigrants. The hospital in Denver almost had to shut down and had to get a federal bailout because of the sheer number of illegal immigrants choking its halls constantly because they get free health care. And because if you've got the sniffles, might as well go to the ER. You're not paying for it. What do you care? And here's a doctor from LA, clip number 20, talking about what the ER has been like since the deportation sweeps have hit California. Let's watch.
My 12-hour shift at one of LA County's easiest hospitals and ERs. And you guys, our waiting room is just empty, like four patients max, like every hour. And as much as a healthcare worker enjoys a slow day, it's actually pretty scary. Like, I know that a lot of patients are just scared to seek medical care right now, and it's just really sad, the circumstances that we are in right now. And it just scares me for the results of this after, because a lot of patients are going to hold off to not seek medical care, and they're going to come back 10 times sicker. And I just want to urge anybody who has any family members who are experiencing any serious symptoms to encourage them to seek medical care. Hospitals are supposed to be safe spaces, and we are there to protect our patients and care for them regardless of who they are, where they are, and where they come from. So this is just a PSA. Please, please, please educate anybody who is scared to seek medical care to seek it if necessary. And don't wait.
It's not worth it. Don't wait. I agree. If you're concerned, you've got to go seek health care immediately in the country where you're from. Okay, don't, you know, avoid the hospital out of fear of deportation and just let yourself get worse and worse. Go now to the closest hospital in the country of your origin. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. You think anybody's actually upset about this? It's like, oh my gosh, oh dear, oh, what has Trump done? Suddenly I don't have to wait for hours in the ER. Wait, you're telling me that if I break a bone, I'll be able to go and be immediately seen and not have to sit in agonizing pain while surrounded by a bunch of coughing, spewing foreigners getting free healthcare on my money? Oh, dear, whatever are we going to do? Oh, it's so scary. It's so scary knowing that the infinite number of, you know, overweight Mexican people with heartburn aren't going to be choking up my ER. Gosh, how will I ever live with myself? If this was the only outcome of the deportations, it would be like a miracle. Have y'all ever been to a hospital in a city, ER, life or death situation? So I know I have. And I had to wait behind probably 10 million Mexicans, I think. If I remember correctly, I believe I was behind about 10 million Mexicans in our hospital in Austin. Before my 1 week-old baby with a high fever could be seen. And even then, they want to do a bunch of crazy crap to her that I didn't let him anyway. Why do we put up with this? Why? Why do we allow this to happen? And, like, can you imagine? Can you imagine a world where hospitals are not on the hook for thousands upon thousands of, you know, dine and dashers, of people who just come in, take advantage of all the healthcare, and then just leave? And the hospital's just stuck with the bill, and then they have to go to the government and ask for taxpayers to bail them out. Just why? Why do we put up with this? And I do just genuinely find it hilarious. This woman is trying to portray it as a bad thing that the ER is empty. It's a bad thing, apparently, that you aren't going to have to wait three hours to get yourself or your child looked at, because there's a bunch of, you know, Guatemalans with tuberculosis cramping up the hallway. Yeah, nobody avoids going to the hospital with a life-threatening situation, right? Like, that's what she's really telling you right there, is all of the illegal immigrants that were filling up the ER were doing it completely electively. It was not necessary. For one thing, illegal immigrants know very well the law. You got to know the law to break it. You got to know the law pretty well to, you know, circumvent it so effectively for so long. So they know perfectly well they're not going to get arrested going to a hospital. Nobody's ever been arrested and deported out of a hospital. That's not going to happen, because that would be a problem. You shouldn't arrest people for deportation at a hospital, and I wouldn't be in favor of that. Nobody is. Nobody's doing it. And they know that. They know they wouldn't. So all that means is, like, they're sitting there going, well, I could go to the hospital, but kind of makes me nervous, so I'm just not going to. So it's not a life-threatening thing. So it just means all the other times that they went to the hospital, it's not because they needed to, it's because they wanted to. Because they felt like it. Because they could, because it was free. And now that it's not free, and now that it's, you know, they might get in trouble, they choose not to. Now, if they got shot, you think they wouldn't go to the hospital? If they chopped their finger off, you think they wouldn't go to the hospital? If they, you know, came down with an infection and were having trouble breathing, you think they'd just tough it out? No, they'd go to the hospital. Nobody avoids the hospital because they're afraid of deportation when it's an actual life-threatening emergency that they would need to go to the hospital for. We don't need free health care. We need to kick out all the immigrants and freeloaders so our health care is affordable again.
Ultimate Fish Oil is not just a supplement, but a statement.
Morning. Morning.
Not only can Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com help your heart, mind, and joints, but it keeps InfoWars on the air.
Morning. Morning.
Your heart is the engine of your life, and Ultimate Fish Oil is the premium fuel it craves.
Morning. Morning.
Morning.
Morning.
Ultimate Fish Oil is your cognitive clarity captain. The DHA in this formula is a foundational stone for brain health. Ultimate Fish Oil is your joint health general. The soothing reduction in inflammation ensures you'll feel invincible in the info war. InfoWars has never wavered from its mission, and with Ultimate Fish Oil, neither will you. Step up to the plate, nourish your body, and nourish the fight for a future where the new world order is defeated. Get it now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Historians have pointed it out for thousands of years. Most people, when history is happening right in front of them, don't realize it until later. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has changed the world. You are the InfoWar. You're the eyes and ears. You're the reason we're on the air. You're the reason we're having so much success. And the bad guys hate InfoWars above all other independent populist media. So if you want to keep us on the air and take part in history, we have a limited edition, murdered out InfoWars fundraiser shirt, black on black, at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you get all the other apparel for way lower prices. We've got a big deal going right now where you buy one, you get one free if you're a VIP. That's incredible for the supplements as well. But with this shirt, we've marked it up a bit for those of you that really want to support the InfoWar and get this limited edition shirt. So get your InfoWars limited edition murdered out shirt right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is a limited edition. Thanks for your support, and thanks for being part of history.